I'm Erwin Raphael McManus, and this is the Genius Up podcast. Today, I have a special guest. Her name is Karen Zurhansky. She is a chef and an artist in Mexico City. She is the founder of Nido, a restaurant in the middle of Juarez. She has not only transformed the culinary experience of Mexico City, she has transformed the community. Nido literally means nest. She wanted to create a place where people could be nurtured and loved and brought back to health and to regain their sense of meaning and purpose in life. She created a nest, a home for people. Now, this interview is a little bit different. We decided to do this episode on the streets of Juarez. And so you're gonna hear all the sounds of Mexico City. You're gonna receive and experience the culture of this beautiful section of Juarez. And as we have this powerful conversation, you're gonna get a unique taste of the genius of Karen Zurhansky. So join me now on this beautiful episode of The Genius of Karen Zurhansky. So I've been excited about this day for a long time. I'm here with Karen Zurhansky.
Yes.
The founder and genius of Nido. And Karen, thank you so much for doing this having this conversation with me.
It is a pleasure for me. It is a really pleasure to spend time with you and to just talk about whatever you want to talk.
Well, what I want to do is I want to unwrap a little bit of the genius that's hidden inside of you. Because when I first came here to Mexico City a few years ago, we came and had breakfast at Nido, had the most beautiful experience. The food was incredible. But more than the food, the environment, the culture, the energy was just so beautiful. And then when I met you, it was so clear that Nido is an extension of your soul. It's an expression of who you are as a person. So I want to maybe at first just get to know a little bit of who Karen is.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about your background. Where were you born? Where did you spend your developmental years? And just how did you get to this point in your life?
It is a very interesting and complex but simple question. Mm-hmm. I was born in Mexico City.
So you were born here?
I was born in Mexico City, yes. My grandparents were from Vienna and Slovak.
Uh-huh.
They actually escaped the Second World War.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was a huge thing in my bringing up, at home. Right? Mm-hmm. Because I had a mix of cultures. And as a kid, I was always drawn to the kitchen. Don't ask me why. I thought the kitchen had, you know what's alquimia?
Alquimia?
Alquimia.
Like the alchemist. The alchemy, yeah. There's a magic in the kitchen.
Yeah. And also, I really noticed how much people loved me when I cooked. And really, it was like an instant magical moment to cook something for somebody, mm-hmm. and give them the cake or the cookie or whatever, the pasta it was, and made them instantly happy because I was nurturing them. Mm. But at that point, I never thought I was nurturing them, their souls, right? I thought it was only their stomach. But then I started to realize I was nurturing their souls, and it was an experience.
That's beautiful.
It was not only chewing and tasting and goes to your tummy. The first thing that hit what I cooked, it was their soul. It was their heart. Mm. It was an experience.
So you're feeding their bodies and their souls.
Yeah.
So do you remember the first time, how old were you when you first had that experience of cooking something, of creating something, and seeing that someone else was enjoying it?
I was 13.
13.
I was 13, and while my sisters ran to the garden in my grandparents' house, I ran to the kitchen. And the moment they asked me, what do you want for breakfast? The first thing I said is, I'll make my own. And there was a cook that was, no, you're going to burn with the stove. And I said, no, I'll make my own. Mm. And I started cooking, and I was born, really. It was a natural thing for me to put together things, cook them, and dare to do whatever I wanted to do without a book and without even learning how to, because it was a natural thing in me. I never went to school for that.
Now, I understand that when you never were trained formally.
No.
But you also don't like calling yourself a chef. You like calling yourself a cook.
A cocinera.
A cocinera.
Yeah.
Now, explain
that. That's a very, how do you know that about me?
Oh, I know so many things about you, Karen.
So chef, number one, chef is a French name.
Ah.
For a cook. Okay. And I'm really proud to be Mexican.
Ah, I love that.
Yeah.
And Mexico is proud of you.
Yeah. And I'm really proud of being born here in Mexico, right? So in Mexico, the people who cook are called cocineras. So why would I call myself a chef if I'm not in France? Even though my cooking has no frontiers, because I have from shakshuka to the best pesto, to the best bolognese, and the best chilaquiles.
Mm.
So my cooking has no frontiers, but I really, really, really enjoy calling myself a cook.
I love that. Your cooking has no frontiers.
Yeah.
Which really translates to Kaden has no frontiers.
I have no frontiers.
Kaden has no boundaries.
I have no boundaries. I have no frontiers. When people say the sky is not even the limit, the sky is a limit. There's even more up above, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to go places where people don't dare, because I'm afraid of nothing.
So if you have no frontiers, it means that your imagination is integral to your cooking.
Absolutely.
So talk about that. How do you imagine something before you translate? I've had your breakfast sandwich. It's amazing.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm so happy that you enjoy it.
I've eaten. And you have pancakes that really look like donuts. And I think it's just an excuse to eat three stacked donuts.
Absolutely. And you know about the buttermilk pancakes? I don't know what happens. In Spanish, it's called goloso.
Goloso.
Goloso means something that you can't stop eating and gives you comfort. Right? It's like a craving for something that you know it's sweet, but you also know it's nurturing other parts of your being. And the pancakes actually saved us in the pandemic.
Mm.
And it's a very funny thing that I used to make like a ritual growing up with my children. We had pancakes every Sunday. So they invite friends every mm-hmm. Sunday, and all of a sudden I have a table for 16 people, and my kids had to sign up their friends because there was a lineup for my pancakes. I used to live in Vancouver
mm-hmm.
for 12 years. So I grew up in Mexico, lived my whole life in Mexico, but always hungry for travel. And I really live for traveling mm-hmm. and knowing cultures. And the way I know cultures is through markets because the market tells you the story of the culture and I go to people's homes to cook. I don't go to school.
Now, for many summers you lived in France.
In Italy.
Italy.
So Italy and France, Portugal and Spain,
mm-hmm.
and of course living in Vancouver and being such a multicultural city, I never stayed with the same people. I have a gift mm-hmm. of connecting with people.
So being in so many different cultures, how did that change you as a person?
Everything. Because with my Thai friend, I learned how to cook Thai. With my Japanese, how to cook Japanese. With my Korean friend, how to cook Korean. With my French friend, how to cook French. And then traveling, I never stay in hotels. I always rented houses. And why? Because first I wanted my kids not to go to a hotel, because when you go to a hotel, you have an average experience. When you rent a house, you cook for yourself, you go to the grocery, you go to the market, you cook for yourself, and you meet people that are local. Mm. So I rented a house in Tuscany for more than 6 summers.
Wow.
And it was a rural, mm-hmm. a really countryside house where I made friends with the farmers. And so I had the person who had the hands for the eggs and brought me fresh eggs, no? I was friends with Claudio,
mm-hmm.
who did the prosciutto cut by hand.
Wow.
And then my thing was, I knocked on doors and I went to the Italian ladies at home and I said, here, there's two hands. Let me just learn and help you cook, and I'll give you my hands, my mis ganas. Mis ganas means
my total passion
for learning how to cook. And they were like
my desire. Yeah.
And then it's how I learned how to cook, really. And I had it inside me, but it brought me a humongous 360 of really, like, we have handmade pasta because I could never give you a dry pasta from a box, no? And I made friends throughout the world cooking what they cook in their homes.
All right, so I want to go back to this. So your imagination is clearly a huge part of your creative process. So how do you imagine a meal that you've never made before?
Okay, first I don't sleep. Imagine, I don't sleep. I have a terrible sleep because I wake up at 2 and I write. And then I meditate, I go back to sleep, and then it's like strawberries, and I write the strawberries. It's wild, it's really wild. Because every time I go away, or it's like a ray of light. It's like a ray of grace that runs through me, because it's really not me. Like, I'm not needle.
So it feels like your genius is coming from outside of you.
Yeah.
You know that the actual definition of the word genius is a touch of the divine.
Yeah.
Does it feel like that when you're creating a meal?
Well, at one point in my life, because my life has never been pink, I raised my kids by myself, growing up my children. And it's fascinating how you make up to raise 3 children by yourself. And I'm sure you can tell me a story.
That's quite a challenge. And yet you're very close to your children.
Yeah, they are my life, my life. And a lot of my inspiration is from them. And about the ray of light, there was a point in my life that I had 2 choices: to be a victim of life or to connect to the divine. But then I found that the divine was living inside me, that it wasn't outside me. And that's where my journey, or my divine journey, started, and how I could materialize what I'm materializing. And in terms of, I never went for lucrative or for money, because again, I don't believe in the paper. I broke every single rule I was brought up with, culturally, religiously, and socially. So I said to myself, how can people put so much energy in papers in the bank, or in account in the bank? And I said, what do I really want to be? And I said to myself, I want to be free, and I want to be full of abundance, and I want to be able to share my gift. So those 3 things rule my inner divine self, and I started to connect there. And at some point, I literally went on my knees and I said, I talked to God, because I have a relationship with, do you call it God, or do you call it Jesus, or do you call it Buddha, or do you call it Hashem, or do you call the divine, or love, whatever is for you. And I said, use me. Use me. I'm your instrument. It was a very difficult point in my life when I had no choice to put myself into his hands. And in 24 hours, there were miracles in my life. 24 hours. I didn't have to wait for months or for years or for the, but it was intrinsic.
Intrinsic,
Like, it was 100,000% being an instrument of God. And that's what I am, and that's how the creatives work. Because it is a ray of light, and then I say, oh, I feel like that. And Eduardo, my son, goes, how about we put kimchi or coleslaw or apple, or how do we use this fish, or how do we use this salt, or whatever? At the end of the day, that's material. What really matters for me is what is the unseen. The unseen, the unknown, where every possibility lies.
Well, and by the way, when we taste your food, we feel like we're tasting a taste of heaven.
Well, see, it's with words, it's not enough. No, and I feel beyond grateful every single day of my life to be able to be an instrument of God. Really, it's like, that's it. Like, when they say Karen from Nido, I said, no, I'm Karen. Because Nido is a platform where I can be creative, right? And when where I can reach out to all these people that taste this divine, delicious food, which I feel grateful to be able to share.
Now, Nido, where does the name come from?
Nest.
Nest?
Nido means nest, and my kids or my boyfriends, or my, because I've had many chances of being remarried again. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I'm waiting for somebody complete like me. Mm-hmm. Everybody that looks for half an orange, please don't look for half an oranges anymore in their lives. That really won't make you happy. Really wait for somebody complete as you and that has the work that you have done, mm-hmm. to light more the world, mm-hmm. which is a theme that I love, no? But nido comes from nido means nest, and that means that my children or my boyfriends or my friends or my family, they want to come home. They want to come to the nest. So nido with a double D, just to make it funky, really, is a double D, but means nest. Because at the end of the day, when you want to have a conversation, mm-hmm. when you want to connect, where do you go?
Yeah.
To a nest.
Yeah.
It's where you feel comfortable and you feel
it's
embraced.
So true. I thought one of the unique things about nido wasn't just the food. Before we even received the food, we felt we belonged. We felt at home. And we're right now in one of the new locations you're opening up just down the street from your other locations.
Yeah.
And so when you begin to design a new space, what are some of the things that are important to you?
Warmth.
Warmth.
Authenticity. Mm. Never lose track of your dream. Never compare to anybody. And just swim on your own lane. That's it.
So warmth, authenticity, and uniqueness.
Yeah. And for us, for me and Eduardo, my son is my partner, right? It's very important for you to feel the warmth, mm-hmm. for you to also the simpleness, because if you look, it's very simple, but the energy is what makes everything go.
Okay.
Right?
Now, I'm going to go back to the food. It comes out of your imagination, but I hear this rumor that you do not have to taste the food to know how it tastes.
How do you know?
Well,
I smell.
You smell.
It's my, like, I know if I want to be friends with somebody through my smell. The smell. Have you read The Perfume, the novel?
No.
The Perfume.
The Perfume.
El Perfume.
No.
Oh my gosh! Everybody has to read that book. El Perfume. It's somebody that has this sense so developed that just through smell, they know exactly where, how, and everything. So. Before I taste, I smell. Mm. And through smell, I know if it's right or wrong.
Wow.
But I know energies through smell. I know if I want to go to a place through smell. I know if I want to get out from a place through smell. And smell, my nose and my smell is my biggest developed sense.
It's like your superpower.
It's my superpower. And my hands. In my hands, because my hands are here to give, but also to receive, but my hands.
Now you mentioned when you were living in Tuscany, that you would go to the direct sources for the eggs,
Earth.
For the prosciutto, and so it seems to me that when an artist really fulfills their imagination, that the original source matters. Like it matters where you're getting your vegetables. It matters where you're getting your meats.
Absolutely.
And what have you discovered about the attention to detail from the beginning to the end?
Absolutely. Number one, I like the produce that comes right up from the earth. Mm-hmm. So I buy from really little, small farmers. Mm-hmm. For example, the person who does our yogurt, it's a tiny little non-hormones, non-antibiotics for the cows. Mm. So the yogurt, people say, where does your yogurt come? It's amazing. Well, yeah, because I source that little farm that gives you that. It's super, one. And two, I need to connect with the source. I cannot buy somebody from WhatsApp or from email. I need to buy and make a connection with a farmer, with a milkman, with the cheese, with the vegetables, and it's very important for me, their values and their compromise and how fair they are to their people and everything aligns. And if something goes, I let it go. And if something comes naturally, I let it in.
So it's not just about the produce, it's about the producer.
It's about
the kind of people who are involved in creating what you want to bring into the culture of Nido.
Yeah. It's from the very core of everything. Like, I work with every core. Like, sometimes I know things and I don't know how I know them, but I know it because I feel it. And I trust the gut feeling, which is the divine in you. And that's how I work with every single proveedor, which means everybody who sells things to Nido and I buy, I have to know where do they come from. From the olive tree and everything I need to know. And where I get my dishes, I need to know. And my glasses, I need to know. It's recycled glass. Where my glasses come from.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned that you're...
This is recycled glass.
Is it really? That's incredible. You mentioned you're a rule breaker.
My?
You mentioned that you were a rule breaker.
A rule breaker? Oh my gosh. I'm not, if you want to call it the black sheep, or I rather call it a rule breaker.
Yes. So I want to know, is there one dish that you made that everyone thought would not work? Is there something that you imagined that would taste delicious? Or do people always like go, oh, this will...
No, because I dare and I trust. But rule breaker is more... the rules that you have to go to school to be a chef. No way! I was born with it. Why do I have to go to school, you know? Because I trust my gut feeling and I dare to put a kitchen in the corner because I wanted to bring the kitchen of my home outside for the public, right?
So and you wouldn't say this, but like Polanco, Condesa, they're kind of well-known. Roma has been up and coming. But Juarez is not an area that people would have said, oh, you should go visit Juarez. Nido.
I broke a rule.
Nido came to Juarez and made Juarez what it is today.
Yeah.
You, let me say this better, Karen, you came to Juarez
and
you made Juarez a destination location.
Yeah. Yeah, I broke a rule. Why should I be in Polanco, Roma, y Condesa? Why? Who says? I always question why and who says so. And I don't give the power to anything that doesn't make sense to me. So they say, you should be in Polanco. Why? Because everybody is there. I don't want to be there. I want to be where I want to be and where the energy brought me. Because people think that they have to go after things, after situations, after people. I don't. They come after me. It's for me, it's the reverse. And that's why I break the rules. Because one day, I never wanted to have a restaurant. I wanted to have a kitchen and be a cook to start with, no? So no restaurant and no chef. So a kitchen with a cook. And I wanted to offer my cooking to people. So I said to my son, I wanted to put a kitchen outside in the street. And mom goes, okay. And I go, and I wanted to be in the corner so people can see All the kitchens, if you think, are hidden.
In the back.
Why? Behind the door. Why? Because it's where you can smell, hear how, for example, now the chefs, the cooks are saying, give me that egg quickly. And you hear the noise and the vibe and it creates some energy. So my car brought me to where Nido is now. Because I wanted to go to a restaurant to have Japanese food after a trip to Tokyo. Now, Tokyo blew my mind. They break the rules.
Absolutely.
Japanese people break the rules from this part of the world. Okay, they do whatever they want. So the minute the car parked there, I said to my son, I want here to be the kitchen. And he goes, Mom, there's no sign that says for rent. And I said, we don't need a sign. Who says again, there has to be a sign? You won't believe this. And they said, how are we going to get it? I said, it's going to come. And he goes, what are you going to do? Ring the bell. So I rang the bell from this. There's a second and a third floor, as you can see, in the building. So I ring the bell and somebody comes and says, what do you need? And I said, listen, this space is empty. Do you rent it? No. And I don't know who does it. Okay. So I never take no for an answer, never. When I want something, I really, it's an energy that goes after it or it comes after me. So we went for lunch, we come back, and Eduardo goes, no, you're gonna ring again? I said, yeah, but to the other ring bell, not to the same one.
Right.
So I went to the second one, and a super nice lady goes, hi. And I go, listen, all downstairs is empty. And goes, yes, do you want the phone? Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, yeah, please. She gives me the phone number. I call, and I was off and on looking after the space, and the space was looking after me for 9 months, which for me is very significant because it's giving birth.
Mm.
So we as moms, we have our babies 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
So it took me 9 months to give birth to the renting of the space where Nido is.
Mm.
Once was given to me, it was a matter of 3 months.
Wow.
And also it was a personal job to take a lot of things that were weighing on me mentally, psychologically, and energetically to get away from me. Once the weight was off and there were people, energies, and beliefs, and once I was completely connected, everything happened. But so fast, Erwin, so fast that I couldn't keep track. And then it was an instant love boom.
That's so beautiful. Now, you faced quite a challenge, as the whole world did during the pandemic. Mexico was shut down. Mexico City was
completely
in severe quarantine. I know our friends here in the city really suffered. And how did Nido make it through that challenge? Because you had to realize restaurants were closing the doors everywhere.
Everybody closed down.
And yet Nido has thrived. And not only did you survive, you're growing and expanding. So talk to us a little bit about that.
I believe that in every crisis, there's a ton of opportunities. And I have a rule that I made in my life that it's a very important thing in my life. You either take decisions from love or you take decisions from fear. And from fear are totally canceled for me. So when the pandemic hit, I was going to Japan in 2 days, and my sister called me and said, do you know there's a pandemic going and a virus called Corona? And I go, no. And she goes, don't you see the news? And I go, no. And she goes, Karen, you can't go to Japan. And I go, why? And I go, Karen, because they're gonna shut down. And then I realized that a pandemic was coming, that the Corona was going. So I sat down with my children and we say, how have we learned to go through difficult phases? Through love or through fear? And they go, Mom, you always showed us that it was love, certainty, and belief.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, so what are we gonna do? And so we say, we're gonna close for a week and see how the world develops and what goes on. So we waited for a week, which was beautiful because we were exhausted with the opening of Nido and Nido Cafe.
Yep.
And to keep track of the success, we never stopped. We didn't have a day off. So
that's
week
amazing.
Was a gift because we sleep in, I cook for my children every day, I painted, I did ceramics. After the second week, my son said, Mom, everybody shut down. We have been through way difficult things. Are we gonna shut down? And I said, no, because I cook anyway for you every day. So listen what we did. If I cook at home every day and I have a production kitchen, what am I gonna do? And Eduardo says, you're gonna cook and I'm gonna sell in the window. And I said, okay, because how long can you keep people inside? Mm. They're gonna get depressed.
Yes.
They need to go out at least to the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna close the dining rooms where people sit, but we're gonna still sell and give and offer what we do, which is food. You won't believe. I cook upstairs, I broom and wash the floors and everything, and Eduardo sells in the window. When we designed the window, we didn't know what to use the window for. And the pandemic hit.
That's amazing.
And the window was put there for him to be covered, right? Mm-hmm. Because what he did is, of course, wear the mask, open and close the windows, and offer the food that we were doing, and saved us from the pandemic. And then after food came the pancakes, and then it was 10 orders of pancakes, then 25, then 30, then 100,
so
then 200.
So you invented the pancakes during the pandemic?
No. It was a dish that was already very successful.
Okay.
What we thought, the people were desperate. They were with a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. They were inside a house with no job, or maybe working from home, and they needed to give themselves a gift.
So it was comfort food.
It was comfort food. So what was our top seller during the pandemic?
The pancakes?
Yeah.
Oh my.
And the pancakes saved us because we were left with things to pay for because people shot in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You saw the world.
Absolutely.
I mean, the world shot in 24 hours. Mm-hmm. So we had to wrap things up, lay people off, say, listen, this is like, some people say we don't want to work. We're afraid to get
right.
sick or whatever.
Yeah.
So we said to people, whoever doesn't want to work, please go home. Mm-hmm. Because we don't want to put your lives
right.
in a risk. But we really, really were full of love for life, love for what we do, and we trusted the divine. So we said, we have a kitchen, we have a window. We never thought so that we could use it. So I was cooking and Eduardo was in the window. And Carlos, my other son, was pushing, saying, come on, don't give up. Come on, we can make it. Come on. And my daughter in Boston was, Mom, you go. You've been through so much. This is one more jump. And it was really a quantic jump.
Wow.
And we worked like that for months till we could open up. But people came, pick up the pancakes, and sat on the street to eat it.
That's
and
amazing.
We had a
restaurant. So beautiful.
We had a restaurant on the block because we were, you know, we saw people sitting in their pants, in their bikes, having their pancakes, and music was going on in the kitchen. And we work Monday through Sunday from 3 a.m. So at 3 a.m. I came to the kitchen and made you know the pancake mix, everything. And we close maybe we work for 16, 17 hours every day. But we were so full of energy that we weren't tired. And we were going to conquer, and we were going to make it. Mm. And we made it.
Now, there are several questions I want to ask you, but before we do, I want you to tell me a little bit about this space right here that we're in. I mean, we hear the city, the sounds of the city all around, the sound of construction, cars going by, people walking by. There's a lot of life on this corner. And so tell me about your dream for this space.
Okay. This space was a coffee shop that sell coffee for 20 pesos when I was building Nido. Mm-hmm. And there was a lady making coffee every day, and they had a really little machine, and I didn't know how they could survive. Mm. So every day I came for my coffee and gave them my little bit of help.
Because so you bought coffee here even though you have coffee at Nido?
No. I was building Nido.
Oh, you were building Nido.
But I could go to Starbucks or I go.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I could go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I want them to give them my little bit of thing that I could give them.
Support,
because
yeah.
they were surviving. Mm. They were not making it. So I always wonder how they could survive paying a rent, selling coffee for 20 pesos, and that's it, and
wow.
sandwiches. And I said, this place is beautiful. But I don't know how they make it. But I never thought I could grow that much in 2 years and a half. Like, Nido Empire has been growing in 2 years and a half.
That's amazing. It's incredible.
It's hard to even swallow for me emotionally, mm-hmm. you know? So I came here and I look at the place and I said, shop, it's just five, I don't know, no, maybe 20 steps from Reforma, mm-hmm. no? So I was wondering, but I was just doing my first restaurant. So I hope for them the very best. Mm-hmm. Then they broke. So they closed down and a big sushi place came.
Okay.
For me, it was too luxurious, a sushi place, for them to survive too. Look, the two opposites. The very, very, very simple, humble coffee, and then a sushi roll for 400 or 500 pesos, and then velvet seats, and I was like the opposites. And you know, you can have breakfast for 150 pesos. Mm-hmm. You can have breakfast for 8 to 10 bucks. Mm. Or you can spend whatever you want. But literally, a breakfast sandwich in a coffee, you can have for 10 bucks. Mm. And always I aim for that. I never wanted to be a celebrity chef. Mm-hmm. How does this happen is that the simple place right. goes broke and the super luxurious place goes broke. So I'm on a spiritual retreat in February for a week. Mm-hmm. with one of my biggest teachers, and Eduardo says to me, "Mom, I like this spot." And I go. I'm busy from 3 o'clock in the morning meditating and doing co-healing and learning amazing quantum physics tools and wisdom tools. So you go, but I was imagining this place on my meditations and whatever. So every night Eduardo reported. Well, I put a bed on it the next day. Mom, I'm super stressed. And I'm like, take the stress out because this place is going to come after us. You don't go after it. Rule number one, mm-hmm. you don't go after it. Things come after you too, mm-hmm. right? So Eduardo was, okay, Mom, I put a bed. I'm anxious. It's not going to happen. And I go, why don't you connect on, yes, it's going to happen. When the divine time is perfectly aligned. When the retreat was over, he called me and he said, we got the place. Mm. When I come back, Eduardo is like, I have this and this thought about this place. And it was a dream place, number one, because the waiting list for Nido was getting too extensive and we couldn't seat as much people as they wanted to be seated.
You had people waiting outside, hundreds and hundreds of people on the weekends.
Well, people wait for 2 hours and a half for a table. 2 hours wow. and a half, which I have waited in Barcelona for Calpep, a place that I love, and Magnolia Pancakes in Texas too. Like there, I have places that I wait for 3 hours. Yeah. I mean, life gets me to wait too, you know? So it's very interesting because we wanted to cater more people that wanted to have the experience and mm-hmm. couldn't. So this is an extension of Nido. And this one was designed by Eduardo and me. Instead of hiring an architect. And it's really our baby, and we're super in love with it. And we're more than happy to be able to seat more people to enjoy the experience of Nido. Mm. And to feel the love, really, is to feel the love.
Now, one of the things I think is fascinating about you is, I mean, you clearly have so much genius and it's expressed all around. And still, like, the corner coffee shop, the Nido Cafe, you actually asked someone else to design it for you.
I did.
Tell us how that happened. I think that's an incredible story.
It is an incredible story because it is the assistant of the lady who was nice to me and actually gave me the number of Nido. So it was her office, which is Frida Escobedo. I respect her so much and it was such a pleasure working with her. So once I got that corner and I came to Eduardo, my son, and said, we're opening another concept. He says, Mom, this is so much work, you're crazy. I said, no, if we can do this, we can do more. And he said, who's gonna do it? And said, I'm gonna come to Frida, who came to be an amazing client and friend. And one day I came close and I said, Frida, I cannot afford you. You do Aesop stores in New York, you do museums in Sweden, you do art galleries
in Copenhagen. So she just happened to be one of the most prolific designers in the world.
In the world.
But you didn't know that when you knocked on that door.
Never knew. Never. I just rang the bell and it happened to be her. So that's my son Carlos. Hola, mi amor.
Hey, Carlos.
It's my middle. Yeah. Hola, mi cielo. So they're the love of my life. So.
So she ends up designing it for you.
So I come to her and I said, I cannot afford you. No way I can afford you. She says, what do you think so? Here I come. I come and break a rule again. I said, because you're so well known and so famous that I'm not going to be able. And said, no, give me a chance to to present you a project. And I go, what? And you know what she said? I have never seen a woman who works so hard and so passionately like you. Mm-hmm. So let me make you a proposal.
That's
and
beautiful.
I could, no. I think I could not believe that she could work with us because she is one of the top architects in the world. Mm. So there we go to her office and she says, how much can you afford? And I'll meet you there. And off we go working with Frida. And I think we have the most beautiful cafe in the world. I was in London right before the Corona hit, and I went to maybe 20, 30, 40 places, and they weren't as beautiful and as full of love as that corner that we own.
You know, one of the paradox about you is that you say you don't chase things, let them come to you, but yet you are so proactive and so courageous and you work so hard. And so a person might mishear that and say, oh, you shouldn't be proactive. But the reason that things come to you is because you don't let anything stop you.
You just said it. I think you get me. It's funny. I've seen you 3 or 4 or 5 times. Mm-hmm. And I think you get me more than people that I've seen for years.
So well, I think that's a compliment.
I of course I do things, and but at the same thing, at the same time, I let things happen.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It is, and I resonate that with that completely.
You do?
I'm incredibly proactive. I believe that you have to move with courage and faith, but at the same time, I don't really stress about it.
No.
I know that good things will come to those who move with courage and faith. And it's a wonderful thing.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. And what you just said, it is how I do my life and how I knit my life. Those fibers I used to knit my life with.
All right, so this series is The Genius Of, and anyone who's been listening to you share about Nido and your journey knows that there's so much genius inside of you. Now, I imagine there's going to be an 18-year-old, a 25-year-old, a 28-year-old genius listening to you right now.
Yeah.
So if they're trying to discover their genius and discover the unique gift they can bring to the world, what's some of the advice you would give them?
You need to find your passion. What's your passion? Because the rest comes. But if you, for example, I've seen young people that chase money. Mm. Money. Mm-hmm. They won't be happy. The receipt or whatever will come this big after.
Yeah.
They'll cut up with them with their lives because they won't be fulfilled. I know people that are millionaires and they're not happy. They're not fulfilled. Mm-hmm. They don't live with passion. They don't walk. Like, I wake up every day so enthusiastic for what I have to do, so full of passion for my doing, for my creating, that I would say to a 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 100-year-old person, because I don't have age. I don't have age, and I don't believe in numbers. What are you passionate for? What makes you drill? You know, what makes you drool? What makes you... I remember when I was young, I always love to look at how restaurants operate. I was always sitting and looking at the back, at the how the waiters work, how people were eating, enjoying, fighting, loving, and what happened in a table. What happens in a table, it's magic. There's been people giving a compromise, you know, a ring to somebody that they want to marry, or they have the worst fight of their life because they are divorcing. Whatever, but a lot of people's happens in a table. It's where you sit and you put your life to a stop. That was always my passion. So look for your passion and follow your passion. Your freedom and your abundance and your gift to the world, it's in your passion. What are you passionate for? Listen to your highest self. How? Keeping still and quiet. And listen to that, and then follow, and trust life, and trust yourself, and everything aligns. Everything happens for you, but don't be an obstacle for your life. How? doing what people say you should do, wanting things that they told you they you have to want.
Right.
Why? Ask yourself why. And just un borrego, como se dice, don't be another in the herd.
Yeah.
Don't be another sheep. Please say it for me.
Yeah, sheep
Please.
In a herd.
Don't be a sheep in the herd. Yeah. Be yourself and embrace your authentic self. Passion, be your authentic self and nurture your relationship with the divine. That those are my three principles in life.
There's so much genius to wrap in you. And to me, this has been such an enlightening conversation. I do want us to take a moment and walk through Nido and just get a sense of the energy, the vibe, and the beauty that is taking place there. Karen, thank you so much for joining me in this conversation.
I'm honored.
I want to thank you so much for joining me today on the Genius Self Podcast. Didn't you just fall in love with Karen? You could almost smell and taste the food of Nido. I also want to encourage you to go and pre-order right now The Genius of Jesus. It's about to release on September 14th, and I just want to encourage you to dive right in to this new conversation about the person of Jesus and the potential of the genius inside of each one of us. I want to also encourage you to subscribe to The Genius of Podcast on Apple Podcasts and leave a review. And if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment and maybe leave a suggestion of someone that we could interview in the future. I want to thank you so much for joining me. And remember, there is genius inside of you. And every time we unwrap the genius inside of an individual, it's a wonderful reminder of the uniqueness of every human being. See you on the next episode of The Genius of.